If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
John records something that I find to be very interesting. In the Gospel of St. John, verse 20, as he begins to recite the resurrection, John writes in chapter 20, verse 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And she sees the stone taken away. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," the other disciple being John. He never refers to himself in first person proper. "And she comes to them and says, they have taken away the Lord out of the grave, and we don't know where they've laid him. And Peter went forth and that other disciple, and they came to the tomb. So they both ran together, but John outran Peter and came first to the tomb. And he stooped in. He stooped down and looked in. And he saw the linen clothes lying there. But he didn't go in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him. And he went in." My man Peter. John looked in and said, "No, that's all right." Peter said, I'm going in. I cuss, lied, and denied. I got to make it right. He went in. And he saw the linen clothes lying there. And the napkin that was about his head was not lying with the linen clothes, but it was wrapped together in a place by itself. I marvel that Jesus is constantly giving hope, even in this situation. It tells us that he never wants us to feel abandoned. He wants us to know that there's always a way out. If you, as the believer, would take the time to apply worship, praise invites God into your situation. I inhabit. Worship elevates you into the presence of God. That's why I love you, but just hear the truth of Scripture. All of us can't worship. All of us can praise, because worship is by invitation. He seeketh such to worship him. He knows some of us, our lives are so filled with carnality, we can't worship him, so he don't seek us. The Spirit doesn't call us when our hearts are filled with bitterness and unforgiveness and hypocrisy. The Spirit doesn't call us to worship. God says, go ahead, praise me. I'll come down, but I ain't inviting you to intimacy because you got too much junk in you. If you don't want to come in and fellowship with your fellow believers and give me praise, then I'm not inviting you to worship, and that's why you kind of, you walking on one leg. So when you run into difficulties, you can't hang. If you notice in my opening statement, as I shared with you what I have been going through for the past 11, 12 days, at no time did I say I thought of leaving God. I said I thought of giving this up, but never God, because to me, he's greater than this. John says, Peter runs in, and it says he saw the linen clothes laying. You must remember that the Bible is a cultural book as much as it is the Word of God. There are times when Jesus is held to the standard of the culture and does not break said culture unless the culture is binding. By that I mean, if the culture keeps you from worshiping God, then he'll break it. If the culture removes you from common sense, then he'll break it. But he didn't come to destroy cultural realities, just to enlighten us as to their application. When both Peter and John look in and they see the linen clothes were lying there, and more specifically, the napkin that they had used to cover his face. I got up this morning and I tossed the covers back. I just tossed them back. There was no beauty. I just tossed them back. I did not rearrange the pillow. I just tossed them back. Because I don't care. I'm not sending a message to anybody. I just tossed them back. I don't care. What do I care? I don't care if they stay like that for days. It's only a bed. See, you women, y'all make it so cute, and you got 47 pillows on it, and all this other junk, and men don't care about that. They just flop. But Jesus, when you buried somebody in Jesus' day, you wrapped them. And your reason for wrapping them was so that their hands don't fall and their head doesn't slip back. And you would tie them with a cloth to make sure the mouth doesn't drop open. In other words, they wanted to give you dignity in your burial. The hands were tied, and you were, in Jesus' case, laying on a slab of marble and tied so that he could not fall off the marble. Nobody else had been in this tomb, the Bible says. Nobody else. Never a man had laid in this tomb before. But this tomb was about to have an awakening. I need you to go with me real quick, just real quick, to understand this so that you will see the power of the resurrection. Jesus was laying in that tomb with scarred hands and a hole in his side and scars in his feet and his head, and the back is just ripped apart by the scourging a few days earlier. He has made a trip to hell to loose those captives there, according to Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He has gone down into the lower parts of the earth to bring captivity out of there. Abraham and all the righteous dead. All right, boys, let's go. He has made a trip to heaven and taken his blood and sprinkled it on the heavenly mercy seat, so that God could forgive us. He fulfills the tabernacle ritual. He has pierced through the outer court and found that the veil has been torn in the heavenly court, just as it was torn on the earthly court. He understands that to mean that because of the piercing of his skin, humans can finally get to God. But that's not the most significant part. It's that God can get to us. God no longer has to look at us and say, I want to reach them, but I can't because I'm so holy and they're so filthy. Now he looks at us and he sees us through the blood of Jesus, and he says, doesn't matter what they are. Come here, baby. I love you. Come here, you. I love you. Come here. I love you. I can get to you now, even though you're hiding behind your ignorance, hiding behind your sin. The blood makes it possible for me to reach you. And I reach you. And when I reach you, I elect you. And when I reach you, I pull you through the blood. And the blood, after our election, the blood becomes the inauguration. Once we are bloodied, we can say, Abba. And Jesus had made these trips back and forth to heaven and hell, heaven and hell. And on the third day, corruption's going to set in on the fourth day. And David writes, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So he has to get back in that body before the fourth day. So he goes in on the third day, and the body is all wrapped up with linen. So he just undoes it. And he doesn't toss it aside like I did my bedclothes. He folds it. It's not in disarray because the resurrection wasn't helter-skelter. But they notice the linen napkin was folded and placed to the side. Every Hebrew boy is taught that when you serve guests, you give them a napkin. If the guest gets up at the end of the meal and takes the napkin and throws it down, they're saying, your service was reprehensible. I'm done with the meal, but I shall not return. The unfolded napkin means I'm dissatisfied with you and you'll never see me again. But they also know that if the person folds the napkin and neatly places it next to where they've eaten, they send the message, I enjoyed my time with you. You were exemplary, and I will be back. When they saw the folded napkin, they said, he's coming back. And it was reinforced in the book of Acts when the angel said, why stand ye gazing here into the heavens? This same Jesus shall return. The resurrection ensures his return. What you gonna do with the napkin? Paul says, if Christ be not risen, then we, above all men, are miserable. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. If Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. But I tell you today, Christ is risen and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and you and I are victorious. Because he's alive. Shout it from the housetops. He's alive. He's alive.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
4118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.